Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part two of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. Let's begin with a reading of the obituaries for today. The first obituary is for Arnold, or Andy, Anderson. Arnold Andy Anderson, 86, of Paxton. 86, yes, died at 7:35 p.m. Sunday, September 3rd, 2017, at Heartland Healthcare Center in Paxton. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Friday at Glen Cemetery, which is located at 602 East Summer Street in Paxton. The Reverend Barbara Busbom, B-U-S-B-O-O-M, will officiate. Military rites will be accorded for the Air Force veteran. Bear Family Funeral Services, which is located at 406 East Pell Street in Paxton, is in charge of the arrangements. The next death notice is for Evelyn Richards Brown. Evelyn, or Ovi, Richards Brown, 97, of Terre Haute, Indiana, and formerly of Downers Grove and Urbana, gained eternal life on September 9th, Saturday, September 9th, 2017, at her home. Graveside services will be held at Mound Cemetery in Charleston at a later date. Stewart and Carroll Funeral Home in Paris is in charge of arrangements. Memorial contributions may be made to the Oland Hanner Fourth Degree Knights of Columbus Scholarship in care of Indiana State University Foundation. The address there is 30 North 5th Street, Terre Haute, Indiana, zip code 47809, or to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, 262 Danny Thomas Place, Memphis, Tennessee, 38105. For more information and online condolences, please go to www.stewartandcarolfuneralhome.com. So spelled out, that's stewartandcarolfuneralhome.com. The next death notice is for Charles, or Chick, Bruns. On September 10th, 2017, Charles, or Chick Bruns, died at the age of 98. Chick was a lifelong resident of Champaign and graduated from Champaign High School, where he was a recognized athlete. Let's see if here's the information about services and funeral. There will be a visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, September 13th, at Owens Funeral Home, located at 101 North Elm Street in Champaign. A memorial mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday at Holy Cross Catholic Church, which is located at 403 West Clark Street in Champaign, with Father Joseph Daunton officiating. Interment will take place immediately following at Woodlawn Cemetery in Urbana. Military rites will be accorded by VFW Post 5520. Condolences may be offered online at www.owensfuneralhomes.com. That's owensfuneralhomes.com. The next death notice is for Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y, Cagle, C-A-G-L-E. Jerry D. Cagle, 60, of Tuscola, passed away at 7:30 p.m. Friday, September 8, 2017, at the IU Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, September 16th, at the Edwards Funeral Home, which is located at 221 East Main Street in Arcola. Pastor Stephen Stern will officiate. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the memorial service from noon to 1 p.m. at the funeral home. The next death notice is for Elna, E-L-L-N-A, N. Worth, W-I-R-T-H, Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S. That's Elna N. Worth Collins. Elna N. Worth Collins, 76, of Ivesdale, passed away at 10:39 p.m. Saturday, September 9th, 2017, at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Thursday, September 14th, at Hines Funeral Home, which is located at 348 North Pyatt Street in Bement. Pastor Rob Adams will officiate. Burial will be in the Rice Cemetery in rural Sadorus. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, also at the funeral home. Memorial contributions can be made to a charity of the donor's choice. The next death notice is for Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R, Cooley, C-O-O-L-E-Y. That's Esther Cooley. Esther Cooley, 88, of St. Joseph, passed away at 10:45 a.m. Saturday, September 9, 2017, at Heartland Healthcare in Champaign. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. on September 19th at Freese Funeral Home, located at 302 East Grand Avenue in St. Joseph. Pastor Mike Mack will officiate. Burial will be in Patterson Cemetery in St. Joseph. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. at the funeral home. The family suggests that if you attend the visitation or service, you wear Illini, Cubs, Bears, or your favorite sports clothing, as that would make Mom happy to see. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, the family requests that you make donations to Living Word Family Church, Post Office Box 799, St. Joseph, Illinois, 61873. That's Living Word Family Church. The next death notice is for Marie Davis. Marie Davis, 96, of Urbana, died at 12:15 p.m. Friday, September 1, 2017, at home. A memorial mass will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday at St. Patrick's Catholic Church, located at 708 West Main Street in Urbana. Renner Wyckoff Chapel and Crematory, located at 1900 South Philo Road in Urbana, is in charge of arrangements. The next death notice is for Jordan, that's J-O-R-D-A-N, Hibbler, H-I-B-L-E-R, Jordan Hibbler. Jordan S. Hibbler, 23, of Urbana, died on Sunday, September 10, 2017, at home. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but the arrangements are set to be handled by Walker Funeral Services and Chapel, located at 704 North 4th Street in Champaign. The next death notice is for Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, Jamison, J-A-M-I-S-O-N, Terry Jamison. Terry Jamison, 63, of Broadlands, died at 9:30 a.m. Sunday, September 10, 2017, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but Mackie Wright Funeral Home, which is located at 215 East Washington Street in Monticello, will be handling the arrangements. The next death notice is for Charles Marshall. Charles Marshall of Savoy died on Sunday, September 10, 2017, in Savoy. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but Sunset Funeral Home in Champaign, located at 710 North Neal Street in Champaign, is in charge of the arrangements. The next death notice is for Tom Schull. That's S-C-H-U-L-L. Tom Schull, 63, of Villa Grove, died at 7 a.m. Monday, September 11, 2017, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time, but they will be handled by Joins Funeral Home at Illinois 130 South in Villa Grove. The next death notice is for Doris Schroyer. That's S-H-R-O-Y-E-R. Doris May Schroyer, 81, passed away on Sunday, September 10, 2017, at Country Healthcare and Rehab in Gifford. In lieu of other expressions of sympathy, memorial donations may be made to Doris's family for funeral expenses. A celebration of Doris's life will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, September 14th at Sunset Funeral Home, located at 710 North Neal Street in Champaign, Illinois, 61820. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Burial will follow at Riverside Cemetery in Mahomet. Please join her family in sharing memories, photos, and videos on her tribute wall, which you can find at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. That's SunsetFuneralHome.com. The next death notice is for Dorothy Sprague, S-P-R-A-G-U-E. Dorothy Sprague, 80, of Moroa, entered into heaven at 12:45 p.m. Sunday, September 10, 2017, surrounded by her loving family in her home in Moroa. Services will be at 10 a.m. Friday, September 15th, at Moroa United Methodist Church in Moroa, with the Reverend Mary Alice Cunningham officiating. Burial will follow in Moroa Cemetery. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday at Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. Memorials may be directed to Moroa United Methodist Church. Online condolences may be made at www.calvertmemorial.com. That's CalvertMemorial.com. The next death notice is for Hazel Taylor. Hazel Irene Taylor, 90, of Clinton, died at 1:30 a.m. Monday, September 11th, 2017, at Manor Court in Clinton. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Monday at Evergreen Cemetery in Waynesville with Lance Schmid officiating. Calvert Funeral Home, located at 201 South Center Street in Clinton, is in charge of the arrangements. And the last death notice for today is for Wesley Veitch, or Veitch. I apologize for any mispronunciation. The last name is spelled V-E-I-T-C-H, Veitch. Wesley T. Veitch, 28, of Mahomet, passed away on Sunday, September 10th, 2017. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Morgan Memorial Home, located at 1304 Regency Drive West in Savoy, is handling the arrangements. And you can visit them online for more information at www.morganmemorialhome.com. That's MorganMemorialHome.com. That completes our reading of the obituaries for today. We'll now resume with reading of some more headlines from today. The next headline reads, Resignation, Governor's Education Secretary to Step Down. This article is written collectively by the Associated Press and is based out of Chicago. Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner's top education advisor is leaving her post this week. Rauner's office announced Monday that Secretary of Education Beth Purvis's, that's P-U-R-V-I-S, Beth Purvis's last day is Friday. She began working in Rauner's administration in 2015 and will join a national nonprofit group. The move comes after Rauner recently signed a law overhauling the formula Illinois uses to dole out money to public schools. The bipartisan compromise emerged from legislative leaders' meetings. Purvis led a school funding commission, among other posts. In a statement, Purvis says that working for Rauner's administration was a privilege. Rauner's office didn't specify replacement plans for a new education secretary. Emily Bastedo, B-A-S-T-E-D-O, who served on Rauner's legal team and as First Lady Diana Rauner's chief of staff, will oversee Rauner's education policy team. The next headline reads, Illinois wages. One raise for caregivers approved, another on hold. This article is written by the Associated Press again and is based out of Springfield. Advocates say a 75 cents an hour wage increase for people who care for the developmentally disabled in Illinois should help group homes hire and retain staff members. Governor Bruce Rauner's administration indicated last week that the increase included in the 2018 budget lawmakers approved in July should begin within 60 days. But another wage hike included in the budget is on hold. That's 48 cents an hour allotted to 28,000 personal assistants who look after physically disabled people in their homes. Chicago Democratic Representative Greg Harris says the 48-cent raise wasn't a suggestion. Rauner spokesman Jason Schomburg says the raise must be part of contract negotiations with SEIU Healthcare Illinois. SEIU disagrees and filed a lawsuit last week in Cook County to force payment. The next headline reads, 11 Area Honor Students Designated as Scholars. This article is based out of Champaign and is written by Julie Worth. 11 area students, including 6 from Champaign, were named Chancellor's Scholars in the Campus Honors Program at the University of Illinois this fall. They are among 140 freshmen and sophomores chosen for their academic excellence and leadership potential, according to the U of I. The Campus Honors Program is a 4-year general studies program open to undergraduates in any curriculum. It admits up to 125 freshmen each year, selected from more than 7,000 on the Urbana campus. Up to 20 additional students are invited to join at the beginning of their sophomore year. Chancellor scholars participate in small honors classes and seminars and have close interaction with professors and mentors. They also have access to a lecture series, dress rehearsal visits to Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, international programs, and summer research and travel grants. The local students are Champaign, Julia, that's G-I-U-L-I-A, Barbary, that's B-A-R-B-I-E-R-I, Christopher Bauer, Minwoo Choi, Randy Jansen, Matthew Reeder, Louis Siegel, and Ethan Simmons. In Mahomet, Ian Carpenter and Claire Penrose. From St. Joseph, Lauren Gerna, that's G-H-E-R-N-A, Lauren Gerna. And from Tuscola, Lindsay Schopp. The next headline reads, Spurlock Museum, Pulitzer winner to speak Thursday. This article is written by Melissa Murley and is based out of Urbana. The 2016 Pulitzer Prize-winning author Viet Thanh Nguyen, that's V-I-E-T, Thanh, last name Nguyen, Nguyen, will speak at 1 p.m. Thursday in the Knight Auditorium at Spurlock Museum, located at 600 South Gregory Street in Urbana. Nguyen's free talk, part of the 27th Annual Mortensen Distinguished Lecture Series, is titled Enduring Wars in Trans-Pacific Memories. His Pulitzer-winning book was titled The Sympathizer. Nguyen explores in his work what it means to be national, ethnic, multicultural, foreign, international, diaspora, and transnational. His lecture will focus on the conflicts and trauma brought about by war, forced migration, and the subsequent resettlement and integration of refugees. The next headline reads, 4th District Appellate Court, Republican lone candidate in race. This article is based out of Lincoln and is written by Tom Kachik. Illinois Appellate Court Justice Thomas M. Harris has announced his candidacy for election to the court in the district that takes in 30 central Illinois counties, including Champaign and Vermilion. Harris, a Republican, has been serving on the appellate court since January 3, 2013, by assignment of the Illinois Supreme Court. Harris, 54, is a Lincoln native with an undergraduate degree from the University of Illinois and a JD degree from the University of Colorado Law School. He was in private practice from 1988 to 2007. In 2007, he was appointed associate judge, and in 2008, he was elected resident circuit judge of Logan County, where he served until his assignment to the appellate court in 2013. Harris and his wife, Regina, have 3 children. He is the only candidate so far for the seat once held by Justice Carol Pope, who retired earlier this year. The next headline reads, PBL School Board, Budget Hearing Set for Wednesday. This article is written by Will Brumley for the Ford County Record. Immediately prior to the Paxton-Buckley-Loda School Board's monthly meeting Wednesday night, a public hearing will be held regarding the district's proposed budget for the 2018 fiscal year. As of last month, the proposed budget for the fiscal year that began July 1st projected a $666,246 deficit in its main operating fund, the educational fund. But Superintendent Cliff McClure was quick to point out that the district's financial outlook could indeed change for the better if state revenue ends up being more reliable than it has been. In the budget, revenue from state sources totals $4.05 million in the educational fund, which is projecting total revenue of $15.3 million compared with $16.02 million in expenditures. Also showing projected deficits are the Capital Projects Fund, down $7.2 million, Debt Service Fund, down at $699,963, Transportation Fund at $204,982, Municipal Retirement Social Security Fund at $73,836, and Operations and Maintenance Fund at $15,627. Showing projected surpluses are the Tort Fund at $179,278 and the Working Cash Fund at $80,243. The next headline reads, 101st Illinois House District, Pyatt Chair Running for State Representative. This article is written by Tom Kachik and is based out of Monticello. Saying that he wants to serve 4 years and then get out of the legislature, Pyatt County Board Chairman Randy Keith declared Monday that he is a Republican candidate for state representative in the 101st House District. He joins Todd Hendricks of Cerro Gordo and Dan Calkins of Decatur as Republican contenders for the seat being vacated by State Representative Bill Mitchell, a Republican from Forsyth. Representative Forsyth. No Democratic candidate has surfaced in the heavily Republican district. The 101st House District includes all or parts of Champaign, Macon, DeWitt, Pyatt, and McLean counties. At first, Keith admitted Monday he wanted no part of the legislature after he heard that Mitchell was stepping down after 20 years in the House. But when I got home that night, I had 3 phone calls from friends of mine who said, "You need to run, you need to run," Keith said. "They just kept working on me. I'm a Christian, so I prayed on it. And I had some grandchildren tell me, 'Grandpa, you always say, don't give up, never give up.' And I didn't want to be one of those people in the state who says nothing can be fixed and it can't be done. So I've decided that I'll do it. I'll only do it for 4 years. I'll give it 4 years of my life and only give 4 years of my life to go over there and try to get some of these, fix some of these problems." Keith, 65, said that is what he has tried to do in his 4 years as county board chairman in Piatt County. That's what I do as a county board chairman. You talk to any county board chairman, and they'll tell you every day that you're out there fixing problems, said Keith. We don't have the luxury of printing money or kicking problems down the road or whatever. We have to fix them. They need some of that, I think, over there. Keith retired in 2011 after working about 40 years at the Kraft Food Plant in Champaign. I'm a worker. I'm a grinder. I've never known anything but work my entire life. You give me a problem, and I've got a little bulldog in me. I work and play well with others, he said. I like compromise. Many times I've been out in yards talking to two neighbors who aren't getting along over a zoning issue or something. So I try to help them find common ground. Maybe if we can find some common ground and make both of you a little happy, that helps. It works a lot of the time. Keith is a 1971 graduate of Gibson City High School. He volunteered for the U.S. Army shortly after graduation and served 2 years in the military police in Germany. He lives in rural Monticello with Kathy, his wife of 28 years. He has 4 children and 10 grandchildren. He filed a statement of organization Monday with the Illinois State Board of Elections and said he put $5,000 into the campaign. Me and Kathy, we talked about it. I'm not a wealthy man. I'm not poor, but $5,000 is a lot of money, he said. People told me, don't put in your own money. But what would you think of a guy who doesn't have enough faith in himself to have some skin in the game? But I'm going to ask you for money. He said he had talked to representatives of the House Republicans and Governor Bruce Rauner, but got no commitments of help, nor did anyone try to discourage him. They're good guys. They're all right. But they don't want to support anybody because it's a Republican primary, he said. I've never felt that way. We've had Republicans run in the primary, and I always say what I think is best for the folks in Piatt County. Keith said he would not have voted for the income tax increase that House Democrats and a handful of Republicans, including Mitchell, passed in July, ending a 2-year-long budget stalemate. I wouldn't have voted for that 32% tax hike. My question is, you could have done that 2 years ago, but we did get some cuts out of it, he said. What's past is past. I'm more focused on let's fix stuff. Give me a problem, and I'll help solve it. Let me help solve it. The next headline reads, Seeking a Full Recovery. For natural disasters, other tragedies, damage control is more than just cleaning up the mess. This article is written by Julie Wirth from her column, Are We There Yet? The onslaught of disasters over the past 2 weeks has been overwhelming, even for a casual observer. Imagine what it must be like for those living it, the victims who've lost houses, belongings, loved ones, the children who live through the terror of howling winds or quaking buildings, who've seen their rooms flooded, their schools destroyed, a pet or beloved toy lost. Though recovery after a major hurricane or earthquake isn't just physical, the mental toll can sometimes be as bad or worse and last much longer. That's where Tara Latham, L-E-Y-T-H-A-M, Powell, Tara Latham Powell comes in. The University of Illinois social work professor has devoted her research to helping people recover from the emotional stress of disasters, both natural and man-made. She helped Save the Children develop a program called Journey of Hope, which has been used to help victims of disasters and crises around the U.S. and around the world, from Syrian refugees in Spain to earthquake survivors in New Zealand. Powell is flying to Houston on Wednesday with a relief group called AmeriCares to help train mental health professionals and others who are working with those uprooted by Hurricane Harvey. She hopes to go back later to work directly with care providers and children affected in between her U of I duties. Right now, she said, people in Houston are likely on autopilot, trying to reclaim their lives. They may be short-tempered, hyper-aroused, and generally nervous, all common short-term stress symptoms, she said. Once they get into stable housing and school resumes, some sense of normalcy will return. But that's when sustained chronic stress can kick in, especially if they've been displaced to a new area with different schools or have to deal with insurance agents as they try to rebuild, she said. That stress can last a year or two or even longer, she said. Disasters create chaos, she said. Powell was a graduate student at Tulane University in 2006 when Hurricane Katrina swamped New Orleans. A stint in the Peace Corps in Mali, where she saw the impact of wars in neighboring West African countries, persuaded her to pursue a master's degree in complex emergencies in public health, focusing on disasters and conflict. But midway through her campus was inundated by Katrina, and like many others, she was forced to leave New Orleans. When she came back, she started a social work internship and ended up getting a job as a social worker. Funding agencies and others kept asking, when is the disaster over? But she soon realized it wasn't that simple. For those with few resources to begin with, disasters can make food scarce and decent housing difficult to find, or push them completely into poverty, she said. It's not just the disaster itself, it's all these other things that they're experiencing, she said. There weren't very good mental health systems set up to deal with people dealing with long-term issues from disasters. I realized long-term recovery, it takes a very long time. Frustrated, she decided to return to school for her PhD and do research to illustrate the need, what programs can help, and what long-term recovery looks like. Powell started working with Save the Children right after Katrina from 2006 to 2009. Then she and several colleagues developed Journey of Hope to help kids recover from the stress and chaos following a disaster. It's become one of Save the Children's signature programs. Powell has since developed similar programs for parents, caregivers, and teachers, and another more intensive program called A Family Journey of Hope. The idea is to help the adults who are also stressed and teach them how to understand kids' emotional reactions to disasters. They learn how to recognize the signs of stress, how kids respond, and what they can do to help. Often the counselors and teachers are struggling with their own losses after a disaster, but are too busy helping others to ask for help, she said. There's a direct correlation between how well parents and schools recover from a disaster and how children are able to rebound, she said. The reactions to stress aren't that different from what any of us might go through after a trauma, be it a car accident, health crisis, or the sudden death of a loved one, just on a more massive scale. Younger children might be more clingy or regress to behaviors from their toddler days, sucking their thumb or sleeping with their parents again. In New Zealand, which was hit by two earthquakes in 2011, one at night, some kids slept with their parents for months, she said. Or they may withdraw or express their emotions through play or drawing. Older children and teens may act out more, get into fights at school, or exhibit risky behavior like using drugs or alcohol. Some of that is normal short-term, but if it persists, kids may need extra help, she said. Counselors don't make them talk about the event, but rather their own stress. They tell kids it's okay to feel anger or anxiety, but then try to help them identify the specific source, control their emotions, and give them ways to cope. If they're scared, they talk about people or places or things that make them feel safe. They also talk about bullying, because most of the kids Powell worked with post-Katrina dealt with bullying. They had been uprooted and thrown into overcrowded schools, many in high-poverty areas, and students developed little groups and gangs, she said. Powell thinks we've learned a lot since Katrina about how to help people cope after a disaster. And despite all the trauma and chaos, she's heartened by the images of neighbors helping neighbors, the dramatic boat rescues, the cleanup projects, the volunteers patiently lining up to help. In every place I've been, they've been there for each other. Every place in the world, actually. Basic human empathy, I think it exists. People are at their core, for the most part, pretty good. And now, let's look at Kathy Sweeler's column, Family Checkbook, a few tips for saving money while in college. Typically, people think of spending, not saving, while in college. It's true that tuition and fees costs are mixed. However, at many schools, tuition and fees may be less than half of the overall costs. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, public four-year in-state costs in 2015-16 for students totaled $19,189, and tuition and fees was only 46% of total costs. So, here's some tips. Small items add up. We often pay attention to large purchases, but may not notice when we spend small amounts of money. However, small purchases that we make regularly do add up, and it can make a big difference over time. So look how much these purchases add up to over a year. Do any of the following expenses resonate with you? Parking meters, cigarettes, eating out. Those expenses can add up. Big expenses matter. Rent, internet fees, insurance, and cell phone plans are common big dollar items for college students. Also, plan other spending. College is a wonderful opportunity to try new experiences and have some fun. So think of additional things that your students might want to do and try to add them into your budget. For more information, to learn more about how you can become a mentor as well to people in need of financial assistance, visit web extension, so it's visit web.extension.illinois. So you can learn about becoming a money mentor and research more ways to save money while you're in college. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part two of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. We thank you very much for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful day.